We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, we got an action-packed show today on this Friday, April 21. There's going to be a lot that we're going to get to today. We are going to hear an interview that I did on Writer Than You this week with a draft guy whose name I can't remember. And it's like the shittiest interview I've done in 5 years. Like, I got answers out of him, but the way I asked the questions were like, Bill. It was like, so, you got running backs, you got wide receivers. Who do you think? I mean, as I was doing it, I'm like, my God, the content's good that he gave me, but the interview that I did is atrocious. To start, let's just have less an interview, more a conversation. Toby Altizer is here. Toby Altizer.
It's good to be back, Bart. Good to be back. It's, if you can't tell, if you're just listening, I'm wearing some Bucks gear, wearing some Brewers gear. My teams all suck out here. Recording this, what day is today? Thursday?
Yeah.
I was at both games. The Nationals got shut out against the O's, made Dean Kramer and Kyle Bradish look like Cy Young candidates. So my team's kind of, I'm sick of them right now.
I don't even know who those guys are. You just said.
That's what I'm saying. And they pitch like Cy Young candidates. So that should tell you how the Nationals are this year.
Have you been like press row covering the team?
More so that I got a credential and I have nothing else to do, so I go down to the stadium.
Ah, yeah.
Pretend like I'm a media guy, but really I'm just a fan that gets a free ticket and sits in the press box.
How is their press vibe at Nationals Park compared to the Brewers?
Brewers feels more like a community. I would say Wisconsin in general feels more like a community. You know, people walking up, talking to each other and doing various things. And also, I've heard people complain about it. I always joked about the Brewers media members and announcers complaining about how high the Nationals press box is. I get it, man. I get it. We're above the third deck there. Like, we're up there with the nosebleeds. And yeah, the press box for the writers is even below where the announcers are. So they really are up there as high as you can possibly be. Whereas Miller Park's nice. You're right there above the loge level and nice view. Occasionally a foul ball comes in there. No chance of foul balls ever coming into the Nationals Park press box.
No, like a drone might or an airplane might.
Very true. Very
true. Or a hot air balloon, but not a foul ball. Should I take my kid to this on Friday? I just got this email. The Bucks are holding a send-off rally to go to Miami at the airport at 2 o'clock.
Ooh.
I mean, he likes planes. He's been on a plane.
I don't know. I would say no.
Well, because he doesn't have daycare on Friday. They have parent-teacher conferences for a three-year-old.
But I would say no.
The first time we had parent-teacher conferences, he had just been in a new class for 2 weeks, so the teachers didn't really know him. And they're like, we sat down and we're like, so tell us about our son. And they're like, what can we say about him? What can we say? And then the other teacher goes, he likes to do the yoga. Oh, yes, he likes to do the yoga.
So he's not like his dad at all.
No. I said this on yesterday's show, but my wife told me, she's like, it's one thing that you're like sedentary a lot, that you are like not moving, but she's like, most of the day I see you're not even sitting up more. You just lay down all the time. So
Hey, I fully understand that. I'm a lazy person myself, and if you give me the option, I'm lounging. I'm not just sitting there.
Toby, he mentioned that his team suck. We have the Bucks going to Miami for game three in a series that's tied in the first round. You have Bradley Beal getting sued by a fan.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, by the way.
We have a Brewers team that is in first place at 14-5. And as of this taping, tied for the best record in the National League. Your team is 5-13, the Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
We have the Green Bay Packers, who are going to have three Hall of Fame quarterbacks in a row. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about, because I'm really getting to a point where I'm really like upset about how our sports are run in this country.
Yeah.
And I'm going to focus on like the fact that these teams are owned by someone. So these teams are essentially properties, mm-hmm. and we root for them and whatever. And I think over the course of my life, I've always just assumed that my teams would be my teams. Granted, the Braves left. I never, was alive. But then the Brewers were someone else's team. There's talk of them leaving at one point. Then the Bucks, talk of them leaving. With your situation, you root for the Nationals, a team that moved, just kind of like the Brewers, only more in your lifetime. And then whatever's going on with the Commanders, which we can talk about, I'm disgusted by this A's situation. They just bought land now in Las Vegas. MLB does not care. They're like pushing it along.
Yeah.
And then so I go back to always like people clowning the Packers for these stock sales. And I say, what I basically did was pay $300. And it's like, oh, you don't make money on it. You can't sell it. No, but what I did was I paid $300. My wife did as a present for the assurance that my favorite team will never move. And I got to think that anybody would do that. I just hate that you can root and passionate and be diehard for a team, and some guy can just leave because he can make more money elsewhere. I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough for the people of Oakland, right? I mean, they had the Warriors leave from Oakland to go over to San Francisco with their new arena.
Which counts. I count that because that sucks for them.
Yeah, I mean, if it's the same thing. Like, they're talking about maybe moving the stadium from Maryland over to Virginia or back to D.C. And it's not the same because it's different cities. But people that used to have the stadium in their backyard now have to go a decent ways to go to a game. And so for the Warriors to leave and then the Raiders to obviously leave to go to Vegas and now the A's to move, it just sucks because I don't think the problem is the Oakland fan base. The problem is Oakland ownership in terms of the Athletics, because they don't want to spend any money. I mean, there was a whole movie made about how they don't want to spend any money on their franchise to make a baseball team. And good for them for finding a way to win some baseball games by looking at on-base percentage. But at some point, you got to spend some money on a baseball team. I mean, there were some times when the A's were good where it was an electric atmosphere out in Oakland. And now it's just become a laughingstock of an organization. And at least with the Nationals, they're terrible, but there's a direction. They traded Soto. They've got a lot of prospects coming up. Like, can you name me one player on the Oakland A's right now? Can you figure out who their prospects are? I have no idea what they're trying to do out there.
I can actually name you two on accident. Jesus Aguilar and Jace Peterson.
Well, also former Brewer Esturi Ruiz is out there as well.
Yeah. And that's what sucks, is that if you're an Oakland fan, like what the owner's doing, you hate that he's doing it and you don't want to reward him. But also, if you don't go, then he's going to have more ammo as to like see nobody's coming. But then if you do go, you're just wasting money because he's still going to move. Like, we talk a lot about Mark Adonazio here, and I don't know if he's a good owner. I don't know if he's doing everything he can to win, but I'm 99.9% sure that he would not move the team out of Milwaukee. And I think that Milwaukee, you look at it, and if you look at Milwaukee, and then if you look at like somewhere, like the new thing's always attractive. I don't know. I don't know that in my lifetime the Brewers are here forever. I don't even know that the Bucks are here forever, yeah. But I know the Packers are here forever.
It's a tough thing with ownership, because with how sports teams have skyrocketed in value, where You know, the Commanders are about to get sold for $6 billion when Snyder bought them in the late 90s for $800 million. I mean, that's absurd how much it's grown.
And did everything wrong along the way and is making $5 billion off the sale.
Exactly. So essentially in my lifetime, they've grown by $5 billion, $6 billion in valuation, and it's by nothing of Dan Snyder's doing. But how could you not, if you're a financial guy, look at a sports franchise as an investment? Like, I'm sure you guys haven't been talking about it a whole lot, but I'll give you a little in detail of the Commander sale. So Josh Harris is buying the team, right? He's the lead guy. He's the guy you hear all about. I'll give you one guess, Bart. How much do you think he's going to be percentage-wise of ownership?
Oh, I don't know, 8?
No, I mean, you have to have a minimum as the lead guy, but 30% as a majority owner, 30%. It's not like he's the front guy, you know? And so the other guy's got 12, Magic Johnson's going to have 4%. And then there's 15 other guys sharing $3.2 billion of this thing. So it's more of an asset now. And, you know, I don't know exactly how Harris is going to view the team because he's from this area, but he owns teams out in Philly, also in Jersey. So I'm interested to see how exactly he does things here in DC, but how could you not look at these things as assets? And it's tough because at least with some of these owners, like as much as Mark Adonasio, you want him to spend more money, like, you know, he wants the Brewers to win, like whether he's going about it the right way or not, like he cares about the Milwaukee Brewers. And like, it's good to see the Bucks owner sitting courtside because it shows that they at least somewhat care, right? Sometimes these owners aren't even around at things, right? So it's, how do you even look at a $6 billion asset as something that you should be actively involved in as a fan when, I mean, you could turn around and flip this thing in a couple of years for, who knows, maybe 2 and 3 times what you paid for it. So it's so tough with how these sports franchises are just growing in valuation because you're essentially limiting who can get in as ownership to, especially with NFL franchises, the one percenters of less than even that, because you have to have an absurd amount of money to be able to just put down the down payment for the team, much less try and actually build a franchise that's successful. And if you need to build a new stadium, it's just getting absurd how much these teams are being worth, that you're really cutting out a lot of the passionate fans, because let's be honest, the guy that's worth $100 billion probably isn't invested with every pitch of a Brewers game or every, you know, shot at a Bucks game or even every snap of a football at whatever their favorite NFL team is.
Yeah, and there's only so many to go around. So unless leagues expand, which is an easy way for them to make money, it's the only reason the MLS is still in existence, because they just charge a bunch of people to own a team and they expand so fast. It's stupid. But like, they're not, if they don't expand in the MLB, maybe they do by 2. But still, that's only 2 more. So you've only got 32 properties that you can buy into. I have a hot take for you.
Let's hear it.
I will tell you that right after these words.
Hey, everybody. This is Ryan Horvath with BetMGM tonight, getting set for some breakfast. I'm here to tell you all about BetQL. It's one of my favorite apps, and it's here to help you get your next betting win streak started today. With BetQL's powerful analytics and expert insights, you can make smarter bets, you can increase your winnings, so much more. And on top of that, BetQL has built an amazing community where users can now participate in daily live chats, post picks, bet strategies, fuck my life.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Omaha Steaks. Toby, these burgers are delicious. You know why?
Why is that?
Because they are steaks that are burgers.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have the juiciest homemade burgers you've ever even known. Steaks on a bun, necessarily. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and brisket burgers. They're burgers. So if you're one of these weirdos that puts ketchup on steak, this makes a little more sense because they are steak burgers. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use the promo code XXXXX. Oh, no, Bart. That's where I say Bart. Use the promo code Bart at checkout to get another $20 off order of $129 plus more free shipping. I don't know why I'm laughing. Just buy some steaks and put my code in. I don't like when players own part of teams.
Okay, so are you talking former players, current players, obviously current. Other sports?
Current. So, like Giannis and the Brewers and Rodgers and the Bucks.
Oh, I mean,
because
really
my thinking is you're already a player. You're already like gifted with this in life. Now you get to be an owner too. I get it. If you have to push me one way or the other, I'll ultimately say it's cool that Giannis is a part owner of the Brewers, but also that's an investment to him.
Yeah, but at the same point with those guys, I think it's a cool thing where, like I mentioned earlier, Wisconsin feels like more of a community than what it is out here, and I think it's more of a thing where Rodgers is saying, hey, I'm a part of Wisconsin. I own the Bucks as well. You know, I'm not just here as your quarterback. Obviously, that's going to change here soon, but with Giannis, he's like, hey, I'm in Milwaukee. This is part of my framework. This is my city. I own part of the Brewers as well. I'm not just your star basketball player. I'm involved in the city just like you. I'm a fan of the Brewers. I have the money. I'm also a little bit in ownership as well. Like, I think that there's a rumor that Kevin Durant might get in on the Commanders sale. I think that'd be cool. He's been a lifelong Washington fan, so I don't have an issue with it. I think it's cool when guys like that, especially the two you mentioned, where they're just getting involved with the state they're in, and it feels like a way for them to get more connected with more than just the Packers or more than just the Bucks. They're getting involved in all of Wisconsin sports. I kind of like it.
Well, I mean, I'm jealous. It's like you already have.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. I understand. I mean, it would be cool to be that rich and then to say, I actually have a part of this team and not just a piece of paper when I don't actually have any say on what the franchise does.
I can vote on the board of directors if you're going to be real picky about it from a Packers standpoint. Let me ask you about the Bucks. 1-1 going to Miami. I think a lot of people, I mean, you were there. And you were there when I was talking people off the ledge. I mean, you gotta know what the playoff, you gotta know what it is, the ups and downs, the backs and forths. Sometimes, you know, things do slip away from you, but when you lose to the Heat, who are bad, I think the second worst team in the playoffs outside of the Atlanta Hawks, when you lose to the Heat, who are bad, who shoot 60%, you know, I mean, Kevin Love turned back the clock. Yeah. You know, that's not going to happen. Then people are starting to freak out because Giannis isn't going to play. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. What bothers me is we just went through this
exactly
2 years ago or even last year. You know, last year things fell short. That's fine. But we skated through the first round. There were people that were worried when it was 1-1 against the Bulls and DeRozan went off. It's like the Bucks just at least recognize that the Bucks are better than, like, I don't know. It's just,
if there's one team right now in Wisconsin that should get the benefit of the doubt, if they start a little bit slow or they get in a little bit of a hole, it'd be the Bucks, right? I mean,
they won. People are like, oh, Wisconsin heartbreak.
They just won. And that's what you tweeted something about that the other day. And I replied like, look, man, if your hearts were really that broken that 2021 couldn't fix that, then you all really are screwed up. Like, it must be really broken, or I don't know what it is that you just won in 2021. All the circumstances that you've gone through really already in this playoffs, you went through in that 2021 run. You played without Giannis. You dealt with being down in series. You weren't even just down 0-1. You were down 0-2 in the NBA Finals, and you were smart enough to put parade shares out. So, I mean, it's one of those things where if there's a team that should get the benefit of the doubt right now in Wisconsin, if they're in a hole, if they're struggling a little bit, it's the Bucks. And if you look at it, the Heat had played a couple of games coming into it with the play-in tournament, so they're still fresh. They're still used to playing. The Bucks had been off for a week. They were a little bit rusty. You could tell that they weren't up for the playoff intensity. Look, I mean, regular season basketball to playoff basketball is totally different. And if you haven't played in a playoff environment and you've been off a whole week, getting to just play at a regular season level after being off a whole week is difficult. That's why you see coming out of the All-Star break, some of the good teams struggle, or you know, some of the guys struggle to find a rhythm again, or the beginning of the season, the guys struggle to get going. Getting into a playoff intensity, though, after being off for an entire week is pretty tough. And so I think that's why you see Miami come out. They're on fire. The Bucks look a little bit like they're sleepwalking. And obviously then Giannis goes down, and I'm sure that adds a little bit more to it. Like, doggone it, man, we lost Giannis too. Like, at least if nothing else, we could just hand the ball to him and he'd drive it in and dunk it. So they came out game two. They obviously knew they had to match the intensity of the Heat. They did, and they knocked down their shots. There's no question in my mind the Bucks are going to win this series. Maybe they drop one in Miami, but if I had to guess right now, it'd be Bucks in five.
I'm just looking it up. This is confirmed by Elias Sports Bureau. Toby's using of the phrase "doggone it" was the first time it's been uttered since 1973. You broke a 40-year stretch.
Hey, I think 50. Me and Kirk Cousins are keeping that one intact.
50. I might take my kid to this thing.
I mean, it'd be pretty cool, I'm sure. There's going to be some crazy fans, though, I bet.
Well, the last time I took him to something like this was the Admirals had, like, a playoff party or, like, a pop-up tent at Red Arrow Park, and I took him there, and we were, like, the only ones there. I don't think Roscoe was there, so he got to meet him.
I don't think that's going to be the case with the Bucks.
They're like, do you want tickets for tomorrow? I go, no. Breaking news as we're talking. The Diamondbacks have DFA'd Madison Bumgarner.
Did they really?
They will eat $34 million of his remaining contract. Once he clears waivers, he'll be available for every team at the major league minimum of $720,000.
Oh, my gosh. That is
wild. His five-year, $85 million deal, he had a 5.23 ERA over 69 starts.
Well, his shtick of being the get-off-my-lawn old man and then having an ERA over 10 doesn't exactly work. Like him and Wilson Contreras jawing, and if you look at the score, it's already 3-3 early in the ball game, and he just continued to give up runs after that. I mean, shut up, dude. You're a dinosaur at this point. You really suck at this point, too. Stop being that get off my lawn, dude. It's old, it's tired, and obviously the Diamondbacks were tired of it, too.
I'm just checking my Twitter account real quick, searching my tweets to see if I ever tweeted anything about Bumgarner to the Brewers. There was an Ask Chuck and Winkler question on January 9th, 2019. If you had to give up two, who would you give up, Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta, to get Bumgarner? I got to go see if I answered that question. Because that could be a problem. Jesus. Toby, how you been? I miss you, buddy.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I miss you guys out there in Wisconsin. I'm actually going to be back for a little while in the month of June. I'll be out there for a couple weeks, so hit you up. Maybe we'll have to go hang out, maybe see what Tim Shea's up to if he's not busy working away at CBS 58. Congrats to him, by the way.
Oh, he'll have quit by then.
Will he have quit, or Kevin Holden personally fired him?
Dude's going to be working from 2 to 10 in the morning.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, 2 to 10.
He thought it was rough getting up for a 6 to 10 shift with your show.
Do you think you could ever really work 40 hours a week again? I'm not sure I could.
I don't know that I could.
Oh, we eat a lot of ramen.
I'm about to roll into the radio station and work like 4 hours, and I'm like dreading it. So,
yeah. Well, I'm at the point I do these 2 hour shows now on CBS for writer. And when they have me do a 4 hour show, I'm like,
isn't it nice when you get like a little, you feel like you don't even have to do anything for a 2 hour show. You're like, oh yeah, just.
And the guy puts me a guest, and I do a buy or sell.
Oh man. Like, how easy is that? And then you got to do a 4 hour show and you're like,
by myself. Plan.
Oh man. With no used to color. Do that every day, man. Used to do it every day.
Oh, brutal. I mean, you know, it's not, but.
Well, to be fair, your show, 6 to 10, was more of a 3 hour show, and you always said 1 hour of the show is just going to be absolute crap. I don't know which one it's going to be, but.
Yeah, that's how it works. 1 hour of the show. And then by the end, I'm replaying shit at 6. I'm replaying shit at 9.
Yeah, the best is when you replay something at 6, and I'm pretty sure you go zonk out on the couch.
I've done that. I've done that on some tough mornings.
And speaking of the Bucks, remember when you were sleeping in the studio while I was running the board from 2 to 5 for Tim?
I don't. I don't remember that. Toby, good to catch up with you, buddy.
Real quick, do you even remember that show at all?
Toby, good to catch up with you, buddy. Toby Altizer.
Good to talk with you, Bart.
My good buddy Toby Altizer. Good to catch up with him. Moved to D.C. He's chasing a dream. Those are his teams out there. Still very knowledgeable about ours. I probably put the video up on YouTube. Thanks to our friends at Dan Shaney Insurance. And by our friends, I mean Dan Shaney. Check him out. DanShaney.com. S-C-H-A-N-I.com. Individual guy. His own man. Working with different companies. Essentially, they're working for him to get you the best deal on your insurance. You can check out all of our YouTubes brought to you by Dan. Voicemails, as you know, brought to you by Carl's Place, carlofet.com/Bart. And you can check out some of the golf simulators. Great way to stay in golfing condition. Great way to practice at home. And, you know, in the long run, much cheaper. Great way to play different courses instead of the same old one by your house every time. Got a voicemail from John in Franklin. Let's hear from John.
Morning, everybody. John in Franklin checking in. Still out here. Just not calling in every day, but I'm here listening. For the good stuff and the bad stuff. What a game. Bart, you called it. Bart, you called it. One game has got nothing to do with another. Fun to watch. Fun to watch everything we throw up go in, like we watch teams do to us, you know, sometimes at record paces. Just a fantastic celebration of the Bucks today. We'll take it. Big fan of resting Giannis. And I'm a big fan of Lopez near the basket, offensively and defensively. I know Splash Mountain can knock it down, and I'm sure it's a lot of fun whipping them things up. With, you know, taking an ounce of his strength just to loft that thing 25 feet, right? But he's a load, and some teams, just him down there is enough. We're going to be playing some teams in upcoming rounds where, you know, that strategy may change, but Bud pulled all the right strings. I just heard about the most important story on the face of the earth of one of your regulars with a take that Draymond didn't stomp Sabonis. Look, obviously, Sabonis brought what he had coming to him, you know, on himself. I'm not feeling sorry for him. But, I mean, I don't know if people are blind. I don't know if people just didn't, like, watch the play and are commenting on it. But anybody that watches that and doesn't think that dude, like, you know, gave him a little love with that foot action after he grabbed his leg, You're blind, man. Seriously. I mean, some of the stuff I hear on this station doesn't even require a comment. And I understand some of it's put out there just to elicit comment. And I'm not going to fall into that trap like some people do. But that whether you get suspended or not, we can, you know, that can be debated. But, you know, obviously his reputation, you know, doesn't help him. And he's got to be, you know, he plays with an edge. Bobby plays with an edge. And sometimes it gets the best of him. And it does a lot of good when it's working, but you can't take it too far. So, and nobody's talking about the Brewers coming back wounded, but what a trip. Just an amazing trip for the Brewers. Very excited about this team, and I didn't really expect to be honest. So, go Brewers, go Bucks. I'm out.
And that's when it's the best. When you don't expect to be excited, you get excited. And thank you for calling this a station. That was very nice. Did see this tweet from Gabe Stoltz regarding the Pfizer Forum crowd. Chris Middleton said he noticed it. I think a lot of it we fed off the crowd in game two. Hit a couple threes, hit a couple shots. They got us going. Crowd was great all the way through the game. We fed off that. That's what the energy is all about in the playoffs. We need the crowd to feed off the energy. So if you're getting to any more games, be loud. Be loud early as you would be late. Do appreciate that if you are going. I got to get myself to one of these games relatively soon. And I know I keep saying stuff like that, but I do hope to do that. Game three, we'll have a post-game show afterwards whenever I get home from the big match between Forward Madison and the Wisconsin Badgers soccer team, the Battle for Madison. That game kicks around 6. The Bucks tip around 6:30. I will be watching the game in the press box and then in my car while driving on the way home. And then as soon as I get home, I will rush down to my basement to start a podcast. So I am excited for that, excited for the Brewers, excited for all things sports. Hell yeah, all sports. Also plan to be live during the NFL draft. Might not get live right away at 7. If the Packers are going to pick around 8:39, maybe after the first 5-10 picks, jump on, get going, and be live when the Packers draft. Excited for that. That's going to be a big weekend. Hopefully the Bucks wrap it up, too. That's another thing. I need this Bucks series to wrap up in 5 because Game 3 would be Saturday, Game 4 Monday, Game 5 Wednesday the 26th, and oh, shit, I got to work that night, too. What the fuck am I doing? And then the draft would be the 27th, 28th. Otherwise, they would play that Friday and play that Sunday. Let's just get to Miami, get to on a business trip, come back home, game 5 in front of a great crowd, and get things done. Speaking of the NFL draft, I do want to share this. I talked with Josh Edwards, CBS Sports. There's a little Packers here, but it is kind of an overarching view of what he thinks might go down in the draft. As I told Toby earlier, I think the content that Josh provided is great. I think the way that I ask the questions is about as bad as I've done with an interview in a long time. I just bumbled through every word. At one point, I think I answered the question I wanted asked. It was miserable. I sucked, but Josh was good. So this is from Writer Than You earlier this week, our NFL draft preview.
Josh Edwards is here, CBS Sports NFL draft writer. Josh, good to have you. I think I'll just start with the number one pick because what happened was the Panthers, as you know, traded for it. I have to think they had a guy in mind, but now we're getting reports and rumors and whatever. Is it possible that the Panthers had a guy in mind and then maybe talked themselves into a different guy? And who's most likely to go number one at this point, in your opinion, Josh?
I think it's possible because we saw something similar a couple of years ago when San Francisco traded up to number 3 overall. Everybody assumed that it was going to be Mac Jones because that was the buzz that was going around, and they kind of talked themselves out of it, we later learned. They went for Trey Lance. So it's entirely possible that Carolina had somebody else in mind when they moved up to take a quarterback, but I also think they were probably looking at Bryce Young for the majority of the cycle, because when you think about it, everybody has been associating Bryce Young with Houston at number 2 overall. So where does Carolina need to get in order to ensure that they're going to get Bryce Young? They move up to number 1 overall. So I think that they are going to take the Alabama quarterback with the number 1 overall selection.
That would be Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. I mean, all you guys with the mock drafts that you put out, it's not consistent. It's not Not everybody's got a unanimous number one. What I like about yours, so just to go through the top five in yours, is you've got Bryce Young in this mock draft going one, C.J. Stroud two, Will Anderson to the Cardinals at three, then Levis to the Colts, and Anthony Richardson to the Seahawks. And I don't know in what order it goes. I mean, you've put yours out there, but one thing that I have been, like, screaming for the Seahawks to do is to take a quarterback at five. And my rationale on that is they have Geno Smith, sure, and they have him for a couple of years, but they also, if that's their plan, they're not going to draft this high again. And in a league where I think you need to have a quarterback to compete, if you're at five and you know you have a need at some point for a quarterback, draft the guy now. Richardson's this project. You know, you get a couple of years with him. He can learn from Geno. I love that you went there with the Seahawks, and I hope for their sake that it happens.
Yeah, you kind of made all my points for me because that's
exactly yeah. Sorry, how I should. Next time I'll just ask you. Sorry,
If I were sitting in that seat myself, I would be looking at the quarterback position because Geno Smith, I think he has. We obviously saw how well he played this past year, but this is a guy that hasn't played at that kind of a level for, you know, maybe ever, but certainly a long time. So, you know, is it something that you can count on moving forward? And then, like you said, Seattle is only in this point because they got the first-round pick from Denver. It's not even their own first-round pick. This is a franchise that typically does not pick this high in the draft. So it's a rare opportunity where you're sitting top five. There is an obvious need at the position long-term because regardless of how you feel about Geno Smith, some quarterbacks will play beyond 35, but I think it's still incredibly rare. So you have to be looking at that long-term vision. And I think the idea of taking a Richardson while you have a shot in the top five is something that I wouldn't be able to personally pass up, but I'm not the one making the decision at the end of the day.
The mock drafts again on CBS, some of you guys have Hendon Hooker going 19 to the Buccaneers out of Tennessee. You've got him, Josh, at 23 to the Vikings. And I wonder, you know, what the situation's going to be with him. He's obviously coming off an injury. I don't know if maybe one of these teams are able to pull a trade for Trey Lance at all. But with Hendon Hooker, where do we think he is if he did not get hurt? Is the injury what's keeping him a little lower, or are people sort of, you know, negotiating against that injury?
I think he could have gone a little higher, but I still think you're probably looking in the 20s to early second round range for Hendon Hooker, even without the injury. Just because the other players in this class either have the production or they have the upside of the position. Hendon Hooker, I think, has a higher floor than some of the other quarterbacks that we're talking about, but he also doesn't give you that potential, you know, top five quarterback potential that you could get from a Will Levis or an Anthony Richardson. So I still think his placement in that hierarchy is probably where it would have been pre-injury, which, you know, then we're talking about the Buccaneers, as we've been talking about. We're talking about the Vikings. So it's the same teams that we're talking about now, even after the injury.
The other thing is we're talking with Josh Edwards here, CBS NFL draft reporter. You've got, in your mock draft, you've got four quarterbacks going in the top five. And then for the Cardinals, Will Anderson out of Alabama, who I really like. Jalen Carter then out of Georgia. We know there's some off-the-field stuff happening there, but you would still take him at six. And then the other edge guy, Tyree Wilson at eight out of Texas Tech. And that's what I wondered was, you know, if the Bears had the number one pick and they did not trade it out, which it was always the smartest thing for them to do. I think we saw the haul that they got. But we'd probably see a defender go number one. If you're going to take Will Anderson three, is he the best defender, you think, in this draft? Or should that be Carter and teams are going to get scared on him? What do you think on the defense? Who's the best actual prospect?
I think it's Jalen Carter, the defensive tackle from Georgia. I think he is the best defensive prospect in the class, but you do have to consider the off-field stuff that we've seen throughout the process, showing up out of shape, not being able to finish his pro day workout. That stuff is concerning. I mean, I don't look into it too much because he is still a young kid and he was dealing with a lot in his personal life. But if I were in a decision-making role, I would want to be sitting down across from him trying to get to the bottom of, you know, where is his mind? Is he somebody that's going to be somebody we have to worry about in the future, or can we trust him? Is he going to be accountable? if you're happy with what you hear, this is the best defensive player in the class. But I think Anderson, with the amount of potential or production that he has shown over the past 2 years in the SEC, that's somebody that has the highest floor in this class, in my opinion. So I would feel more comfortable taking Anderson, knowing what I'm going to get in return. But I do think Carter is the better prospect at a very premium position of need at the end of the day.
There, in your mock draft, again, using that for reference, of course, you've got Jackson Smith and the Jigba to the Packers. He would be the first wide receiver that you have at 15. And then with the running back, Bijan Robinson out of Texas, you have going to the Chargers at 21. Now, they could go a little higher. You know, sometimes teams try to take that guy or whatever. And then sometimes those positions do fall a little bit. Are there any teams that you think could sneak in there and maybe take JSN from Green Bay or take Robinson from the Chargers? Or is that more of a case when you're filling this out in terms of, you know, we're just going to take the best player available and we don't think it's one of those guys?
Yeah, I think you could possibly go as high as, you know, Tennessee for a player like Jackson Smith and Jigba because they do have a need there alongside Treylon Burks, but I think offensive line is a bigger position of need. So you're just kind of trying to sort through all of it. I don't think this is as strong of a wide receiver class as what we've seen in recent years with Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jameson Williams. You know, before that, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase. You know, we've seen all these high-level NFL players over the past couple of years, and I think we have some really good players in this class, but I think we're missing those elite options that we've become so accustomed to having. So I think that's probably the sweet spot there in the middle of the first round, maybe even into the early 20s for that wide receiver run to begin. And then as far as the running back position is concerned, I could see him going higher because I do think he's a comparable player to Saquon Barkley. I would still have Saquon rated a little bit higher, but you get an idea for the athletic potential of a player like Bijan Robinson. So I could see him going earlier, maybe a team like Philadelphia at number 10 overall, despite the conversation and the narrative in the media that, you know, the position is devalued and, you know, why would you consider taking a running back in the first round or, you know, the top 10 rather, because you can get a very quality player later in the draft. I think Robinson is a difference maker and somebody that could be that missing piece for a Super Bowl contender like the Eagles.
With the tight ends, I'll wrap it up with you there. With the tight ends, you've got Dalton Kincaid out of Utah, and you've got Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame. You've got them going in the late 20s. You know, I've seen some mocks where they go in the middle teens. Is there, do you think, a vast difference between the guys where is it going to be like one guy's Travis Kelce and the other is, you know, not? Or are we in a position where they're relatively the same and it's just who you prefer better? What's the gap between the two?
I think there's comparable talent, but it's more like picking your favorite ice cream flavor. You know, one team may like vanilla, another team may like chocolate, another team may like Rocky Road. You know, it's going to be across the board, and I think that's how these tight ends should be viewed because Darnell Washington is kind of a, you know, freak athletically, but he's still raw as a pass catcher, can give you a lot as a blocker. Dalton Kincaid is an incredibly talented pass catcher, can give you a little bit of dynamic ability after the catch, but he is coming off an injury. Michael Mayer is from Notre Dame is well-rounded, but he's not going to offer the athletic upside that maybe some of these other guys do. So you can kind of see the concerns for each of them. So I think it's going to come down to just what kind of a skill set teams are looking for at the position. And I think once you get into possibly the middle stage of the first round, talking about, you know, Green Bay there at number 15 or possibly later into the first round, that's where we're going to see the tight ends come off the board. But it's going to happen quickly after that because there's, you know, 10 guys that could go in the top 100. So once those first couple tight ends go off the board, I think we're going to see a run on the position.
Josh Edwards covering the NFL draft for CBS Sports. Good to chat with you. Appreciate your time and enjoy the next couple of days, man. It's coming soon. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
One more thing I wanted to talk about here, besides Happy Place Hemp, of course, 25% off the code BART, B-A-R-T, every single order. Treat yourself this weekend with some gummies. It is same-day shipping. If you can get it before 2 p.m., it's free shipping. They don't charge you for that. Get your Happy Place hemp gummies and oils and the CBD that you need, the THC to help you relax, man. Just celebrated 420, of course, this week. And what better way than to pop a gummy and fall asleep to some NBA playoffs. That's how I celebrated, and had a good time. So yay me. HappyPlaceHemp.com. The promo code is BART. 25% off every single order that you get there. Your first, your second, your third, your fourth. This is great. You don't need to like sign up with a different email, like one of these subscriptions. As long as you put in the code BART, you'll get 25% off everything they have there. They are located in Muskego on College Court. You can stop and visit them and check out some products in person. If you have some questions, you can pass those along to me, or they're very helpful. Chris and Rob, you know, tell you everything that they can about the products. They make them on their own, so they make them in the same building where they sell them. And so they are the experts on this for sure, and you can check them out. Do tell them, like, they'll ask. They'll say, oh, now did you hear about us? You'll say, oh, Bart Winkler Show, and that'll count as your code. And then you'll meet fellow listeners of the show. So good stuff all the way around. Now I'm going to talk about the Milwaukee Wave. So I just want to say, have a good weekend, everybody. We'll be here post-game on Saturday. All right, if you're still with me, strap in. We're talking some Milwaukee Wave. I had some questions. Landmark is our unofficial Wave correspondent, and I know he'll be at these games. There's a game Friday night at Panther Arena and then Sunday at Panther Arena. And I had a couple of different people call, including Landmark, because I was like, what is going on? The playoffs are supposed to be a home and home. That's not necessarily the case. I talked a lot about how I think the Wave is just kind of forgotten about. And maybe it's with the emergence of more soccer in this country or whatever. But, man, the Wave used to do camps. And maybe they still do all the way up and down the Fox Cities. It's just you never hear about the Wave. You never hear about the Wave. So here's Landmark explaining to me why they're supposed to be a home and home this weekend, but they're both in Milwaukee. So if you want to go, I mean, I'm talking about the Wave. There's a game Friday night, game on Sunday. Hell, I'll see you at the Ford Madison game Saturday. Three straight days of soccer around here. Plus, I think my buddy's going to be in Brookfield for a tournament. Holy fuckaroo. Here's Landmark.
Morning, Bart. Landmark, heard you call me out and want some more information about this Wave MASL stuff, so I got you. So first, playoff format. Once you get in the playoffs, there's two games. It's a home game for you, home game for your opponent. If you sweep both games, you move on. If you don't sweep both games, there's a 15-minute mini game that decides the series. Now, keep in mind that 24 games were played in the regular season to decide this playoff seeding, but what has happened so far is that due to building availability, these teams are kind of playing in weird spots. So, for example, the Wave, as a number one seed, had to forfeit home field in the first round due to your boy, Pat McCurdy, playing before the Admirals game on Sunday. Now, Baltimore, who they're...
What the... they had to forfeit because of Pat McCurdy? Pat McCurdy. Do you think Pat McCurdy is like, did Pat McCurdy pave the way for Charlie Behrens? I would think Pat McCurdy has tremendous jealousy for Charlie Behrens. Pat McCurdy should not be playing bars with more than 50 people in it. Moving on.
Playing here in the Eastern Conference Final, had to forfeit any home games due to, quote, rescheduled team building, recruitment, and additional scholastic events in their arena at Towson University. So that's one of the big things with the league is that these teams take the lowest priorities in their building. So that's tough. Now, to your point of why is the marketing for this so bad, I think it's two parts. One part is the league marketing overall, communication is poor. The league itself is not seen as professional enough for players to even come here to the United States and get a work visa to play for a team at this point. Now, again, I don't know that for sure, but that's what we've been told. The reason that I kind of have that sense is the Wave have a couple of players who played for them prior to COVID that were able to be here on work visas and all that stuff, but now all of a sudden they can't. But the one guy can be here running goalkeeper camps on a visitor visa, but he can't come and play for the team. So the league marketing for the MASL is fairly poor. Let's just say that. The other part with the Wave itself is that the owners of the Wave are also the individuals who own the Milwaukee Milkmen. And the Milkmen definitely feel, at least to me, as though they are their priority. But the Wave are really an arm for this group to, you know, do all of these other things that they do in the community with the soccer camps and building their own rock ventures thing. So the Wave as the team don't get that priority that they should. So I think that's really the problem. So Bart, as you said, if you were the PR director for this thing, you could make good things happen. But for now, I just have to call your voicemail, try to get my stuff in within this 3 minutes to promote this team as much as I can. So hope that helps. The Wave are going to be home Friday. They're going to be home Sunday. Let's fill up this arena. Let's get these dubs. And I'll talk to y'all later. If you need more info, you know where to find me. Bye.
That's Landmark with, I think, a great summation of the situation with the Wave. I also had AJ and Appleton call regarding the Wave, a big Wave fan himself. Here's his voicemail.
Hey, AJ. Jesus Christ, Bart, delete this thing.
Okay. He had to try again, and so here's his second attempt. He told me I could play it.
Hey, Bart, it's AJ from Appleton. I was inspired by Landmark's call on Tuesday's podcast, The Talks of Wave. The first time I've ever called in, but I'm excited to do it. Honestly, it was interesting to hear you were an intern back in 09 with the Wave. I did some game day stuff with them back in the day. I actually hit Marcel Feenstra's hand with a fog machine during intros one day, and he, like, swore at me running out of the tunnel. So that was fun. Anyway, talking about how nobody cares about the league. So the reason two games are in Milwaukee this weekend is because Baltimore actually booked out their arena before Baltimore actually made the playoffs. So that's why we got two home games. It's a little bit of BS, but actually, the Wave went through the same thing last weekend. Game they were supposed to host versus the game Utica was supposed to host, they got flip-flopped because the Panther Arena was booked for something else. So anyway, nobody cares about the league. It sucks. I was at one Wave game earlier this year. Again, I live in Appleton, so it's tough to get down. At one Wave game earlier this year, there was maybe 1,000 in attendance. So definitely not, you know, the heydays of the 90s with Brett Favre filling up 20,000 seats in the Bradley Center. Anyway, that's enough Wave talk because I'm sure you, me, and Landmark are the only ones who want to talk about it. Talking Bucks a little bit, you know, I'm a little upset that Wes Matthews got more minutes than Jay Crowder did during that first Heat game. Again, I'm not actually upset about any part of the game. This is basically preseason for the real playoffs. But I was under the impression we picked up Jay Crowder to kind of sit in Jason Tatum's hip pocket. And if he can't do the same with Jimmy Butler and Wes Matthews is out there just kind of being a stiff, a little discouraged by that. But again, trust Bud, you've been the one talking about, you know, his records in game one versus the rest of the series. So I'm not actually worried about it, but I'm not sure why we gave up 5 seconds to go get Jay Crowder if he's going to get outplayed by Wes Matthews.
All right, I'll cut it off there because that was before game two happened, but the point still stands. Wes did not play in game two, as you know, and Jay Crowder is getting shit on by a lot of people. There will be a time, you know, I wasn't like super thrilled to bring him in here. I didn't want to trade Grayson Allen for him, but they trade him for nobody. And I think there's going to be a time where Jay Crowder has moments in these playoffs, just like he got one from Pat on Wednesday. You know, not everybody, Pat's not going to give you 20 points on average the entire playoff. So it might be some more games where he doesn't play at all. And I think you just got to like work on the matchups. If they put a guy out there and it's not working, take him out, use him for another game. I think that there will be a time where Jay Crowder is utilized. These second-round picks, I don't think it matters. Although now it kind of does more because NBA is not going to let you buy back in and some of the other shit that teams have been doing. So maybe it does matter a little more. As a add-on to the show, if you're still with us, I'm going to play something from WFAN in New York. It is about Rodgers, so have a good weekend. But it's also out of courtesy to the Milwaukee Wave for not having them be the last thing on today's show. Tiki Barber on Tiki and Tierney was talking about why the worst nightmare in Jets history could be happening.
About to realize their worst nightmare ever. Ever. Ever.
Ever.
They haven't quite mortgaged their future because they haven't given anything away yet for Aaron Rodgers, but they've set themselves up with the idea that Aaron Rodgers is going to be their starting quarterback next year, which is going to give them a chance to get to the Super Bowl and do X, Y, Z and yada, yada, yada. But there has been this little inkling of an alternative for Aaron Rodgers. And as Brock Purdy is saying, he's not sure he's going to play. So if the 49ers move on from Trey Lance, the other presumptive starter, and they sign Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers who were in the NFC Championship game a year ago.
He would have been better than what they had last year.
True.
In terms of Purdy going down, but I hear you.
The answer is hell no.
Okay.
So all of this little simmering is not even like smoke coming out of this thing. It's just a little crickling of flame starting to burgeon up underneath the leaves about Aaron Rodgers actually going to the 49ers as opposed to the Jets.
Oh, here we go.
Now has some validity. Because if the 49ers trade Trey Lance, and again, the clock is probably off on him because they like Brock Purdy better. If they trade Trey Lance and Brock Purdy isn't available to play this year because of UCL surgery, Sam Darnold is not. I promise you, is not starting for the 49ers. They will go get, and they're okay to mortgage their future because they don't care. They're not worried about losing their jobs. They've done it before. They've gotten to the championship game. They've gotten deep in the playoffs, right? This team will go get Aaron Rodgers if he's available, and the Jets, the premise that we started this with, will be stuck sitting out in the cold with their underwear on, and that's it.
I disagree. I don't think Rodgers would go to San Francisco. I think the San Francisco 49ers and the Minnesota Vikings should trade Trey Lance for Kirk Cousins. And I say that as a Vikings hater, but I think that that's what's best interest for the Vikings. One of the things I do now from a national standpoint, now that I'm a big hotshot on CBS radio, is I try to do what's best for these teams. I will tell you my bias, but then I will still say, here's what I think is best for the team. I think what was best for the Jets was they should have signed Derek Carr. I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, so just get Derek Carr. You obviously liked him. You should have signed him. I think what's best for the Vikings is to trade Kirk Cousins. He kind of stinks with you. You know your ceiling with him. You need a quarterback of the future. Get Trey Lance, the local kid. I think what's best for the Niners is to trade for Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, we just assume, is bad. I'm telling you, if Kirk Cousins was a San Francisco 49er, the perception around him would change in a minute. He would go from a top 20 quarterback to a top 12 in terms of how we view him, just by wearing a different jersey, just by wearing red, because he's out of Minnesota and he's with a team that does not need an elite quarterback to win. Most teams do. The Niners may not. They've got so many weapons, and Kittle and McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk and Debo, that all they need is a guy. Again, they got to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think Kirk Cousins can do things just as well, if not better. If Kirk Cousins went to the Niners, shit, I might jump on that as a Super Bowl bet. I mean, that would be a game changer. So I think that would be the trade that would materialize. Instead, the Packers are not going to trade Rodgers to the Niners. They are not going to trade him where he wants to go. They would rather trade him to the Jets. I'm almost starting to think there's a possibility that Rodgers plays nowhere, that he goes to the Packers and they just pay him to sit home. And I think that is a possibility. I'm almost starting to think that's the main possibility, because they don't give a shit anymore about Aaron Rodgers. And if they got to pay him and they're stuck with the bill, that's going to suck and be shitty that you're paying two quarterbacks. But I think they will just deal with it. Now, ultimately, he'll probably get traded for, you know, if it came to that, they'd probably just flip him somewhere for a fifth, but I don't think they're going to want to trade him to the Niners, but use him as leverage, certainly. All right, that's the show. We'll be back live on Saturday night. Hey, a little SNL, a little Bart SNL, and talk some more stuff over the weekend. Brewers with a big set against the Red Sox, so hopefully you guys can get to a couple of those games this weekend, see the visiting Red Sox, which is always fun. And as always, thanks for listening, like, and subscribe. I make sure to do that at the very end when it has the least amount of impact. I'm Bart Winkler. Talk to you on Saturday night.
Tax day is coming.
Oh, no.
But if you sign up for Robinhood Gold's IRA with a 3% match, you can get up to $195 for the 2023 tax year.
Oh, yeah.
Sign up at Robinhood.com/boost by tax day to get the biggest contribution match on the market. Subscription fees apply.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC.